To start off this evening with a share on the topic, and this will cover probably 10, 11 shiurim, something like that, maybe up to 12 shiurim, covering various topics. So I want to start this evening with the topic of Priya Varivya, which is, of course, the backbone to Hilchot Nisuin. We will, at a later stage, be discussing the question as to whether or not Bichlal there's a mitzvah to get married. We're going to see tonight that there's a mitzvah of Priya Varivya, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a mitzvah to get married. They can be two separate things. It might be that getting married is just a way that we're able to fulfill the mitzvah of Priya Varivya, or it might be that there's actually a mitzvah in itself of getting married, however we're going to define getting married. So it's actually a very, very good week for us to be starting to talk about Priya Varivya, because we're bang in between the Sidrot of Bereshit and Noach, and in both Sidrot we have the mitzvah of Peru Ravu. We had it in last week's Sedra, the creation of Adam and Chava, and we're told right at the beginning of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the sixth day, when he created man and woman, the pasuk is Vayvarech Otam Elohim Vayom Elohim Elohim Peru Uravu Umilu Et Haaretz V'Chiv Shuha. That's an important pasuk for our topic. And then we also have it in this week's parsha of Noach, when they come out of the teva, Vayvarech Elohim et Noach ve'et banav, Vayom Elohim Peru Uravu Umilu Et Haaretz. So again here, they're told when they come out of the teva that they have to procreate and be fruitful and multiply. So we have it in the two sidrot. We're bang in the middle. One of the sidrot, one of the psukim is the mitzvah. One of the psukim is livracha. So let's start. Yeah, we don't have a mitzvah. Fish don't have any mitzvah. Yeah, the fish don't have a mitzvah. That wasn't on the fourth day, that was the fifth day. But they're not bound by mitzvot. So yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously wanted them to be fruitful, and we hold the fish up as a model, v'yidgularov, that we should multiply like fish. Let's start at the very beginning of Evan Ha'ezer. This is the volume of Shulchan Aruch we're going to be using this term. So the very beginning of Evan HaEzer, I want to look at the Torah. The Torah says, Yitbarach Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz Tuv Briyotav. So now we're going to see that the Torah is going to tell us two reasons why a person should be married. One is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'adah She'ein Tov La'adam Liyot Levado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that it's not emotionally healthy for a person to be alone, and therefore we've got this Ezek Enegdo. This was the purpose of creating both man and woman. We could be created as just one sex creature that reproduces by itself, like some sort of amoeba, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not to do that, because mankind, humanity, needs company. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, V'olki kavanat habriya ba'adam kidei lifrot v'lirbot. The purpose of man, or one of the charges for mankind in creation, is to procreate. You can't do that by yourself. So therefore, Valkin Tivalu Dabet Bezeshaftalo, Lekach Hayav Kol Adam Nisa Isha, Kede Lifrot Velirbot. So the Torah is telling us the reason why everybody should get married is as a Hechatimse, if you like, for the mitzvah of Priya Varivya. We've got a mitzvah of Priya Varivya, and how do we fulfill that mitzvah? We fulfill it by getting married to a woman and then having children. And the tour goes on to impress upon us the importance of procreation. This is Gemara's in Masechet Yevamot, Abal Yevimto, Daf Samach, Aleph, Samach Bet, through to Samach Hey, I think, all emphasizing the importance of being married and having children. And again, it's notable that, you know, in the Torah, it repeatedly emphasizes the two dimensions of it. Goes on to say that, you know, we've got the notion of Priya Varivya, and if a person doesn't engage in Priya Varivya, it's as if he's reducing the Demut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gorem Nishkina Shistis Talek Mi Yisrael, but also, V'chol Misha Shari B'lo Isha Shari B'lo Tova B'lo Bracha B'lo Tira B'lo Tora B'lo Chama B'lo Shalom. So, you've got two aspects to being married. There's, if you like, the physical aspect of Priya Varivya, and there's also the emotional aspect as well of having Tova and Bracha and Dira and Torah and Choma and Shalom. All these things which come, hopefully, together with being married. So, of course, one of the questions, you know, we're going to sort of look at is, you know, the degree to which each of these ideas can exist independently. If a person is not going to be Osek B'Priya Varivya, but is there still a value in getting married? And likewise, is there still a value in Priya Varivya, even if it's outside of the context of being married? And we'll see that there is, because they're two separate and independent considerations, each of which needs to be attained. So if we look at the Shulchan Aruch, right at the very beginning, Paskens exactly like this, in Evan HaEzer, Simon Aleph, Seif Aleph, Chayav Kol Adam Nisa Isha Kedei Lifrot V'Lirbot, V'chol Mishe Eino Oseik B'Fri Av Rivya, Ki Ilu Shofeich Damim, V'ma'et Et Admut, V'goreim L'Shechina She'tistalek Mi'Yisrael. So that's the Mechaber, emphasizing the Priya Varivya aspect, and then the Rama adds the second aspect. The Rama adds, "B'chol mi she'ein lo isha shari lo baracha b'lo Torah, v'lo nikra adam, v'kevan she'na'asa isha avonotav mepakpikim, she'ne'ema matza isha matza tov, v'ayafek ratzon me'et Hashem." So it's worth noting at this juncture that, of course, this is quite a sensitive topic, you know, to discuss the topic of Priya Varivya. Not everybody is blessed to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. Some people get married and are still unable to have children, and some people are, for whatever reason, unable to get married even, and therefore they also don't fulfill the mitzvah. I think it's significant to note that even though the Shulchan Aruch has a very harsh language here, ki'ilu shofech damim u'etet admut, the introduction there is chol mishein osek b'Priya Varivya. The person who's not osek b'Priya Varivya, that's what it applies to. Meaning, if you're talking about a person who says, you know what, I'm not interested in having children, I want to be carefree, I want to be able to progress my career, I believe in zero population growth, and why should I spend time having disturbed nights getting up to change nappies when I could spend my money on flying business class to Thailand for holidays? That's a person who's not Osek B'Priya Varivya. A person who is trying to do the mitzvah, whether it's trying to find a spouse or whether it's within the context of marriage trying to parent children, you know, it's clear that they are osek b'Priya Varivya. It might be, and we'll see momentarily what the definition is of fulfilling the mitzvah of Priya Varivya, but it might be that they're not mekayim that mitzvah, but they can still be osek b'Priya Varivya. You could have a person who has many, many children. A person can have, you know, 10 daughters. They've been osik b'fri of rivia. They've never hit the bingo and ticked that mitzvah off the bucket list of, you know, having fulfilled the mitzvah b'fri of rivia, as we'll see. But nevertheless, they've certainly been osik b'fri of rivia, and you know, that is presumably what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding of them, that they should be osik, you know, with the mitzvah, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will try and be mekayim it for them. So let's now look and try and understand what a fulfillment of the mitzvah p'ri of rivia actually involves. This is a Gemara in Yevamot, Mishnah and a Gemara in Yevamot. So the Mishnah says, Lo yivar, this is Samach Aleph Amud Bet, Lo yivar tel adam mit p'ri of rivia, Ela im kein yesh lo banim. So, I suppose this is like many mitzvot. Many mitzvot, you have to do the mitzvah, and once you've fulfilled the mitzvah, then you can pause from it. So, a person might, lo yivar tel adam mit p'ri of rivia, means that we're not at liberty to say we don't want to be involved in the act of procreation. Elain ken yesh lo banim, unless we've got children, then we'll, on the face of it, this would seem to indicate that if we've got children, we can be mevatel from p'ri of rivia. And we'll see more about that as we go through this sugya. So how many children? But the implication is that once you fulfill the mitzvah, then you fulfill the mitzvah. You have to be osek in the mitzvah until you've actually filled it. Beit Shammai orim shnei zacharim, Beit Hillel orim zachar nukiva. So Beit Shammai say, what point have you fulfilled the mitzvah? According to Beit Shammai, when you've parented two children or fathered two sons, Beit Hillel say it needs to be a zachar nukiva. Shenema, building on the pasuk in last week's sedra, Zachar Nukeva Bram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Zachar Nukeva, and that's what we have to do going forward. So the Gemara will divide now into two parts. The first is relating to this question, that once you've been Mekai in the mitzvah p'ri of rivia, does that mean to say that you don't have to do it any longer? Meaning, I suppose, is the mitzvah p'ri of rivia more like lulav or more like Talmud Torah? Meaning with lulav, once I've benched lulav in the morning, or whenever I bench it, I don't need to worry about lulav any further. However, with the mitzvah Talmud Torah, I've learned Torah. I've been mekayim the mitzvah Talmud Torah, but it's an ongoing mitzvah that is incumbent upon me. So the Gemara says, Hayesh lo banim, if the person has got children, mit p'ri av rivia batil, meisha lo batil. So, okay, he doesn't need to worry any further about being mekayim p'ri av rivia, but still needs to remain married. And this will reflect what we saw in the Torah. Of course, the Torah is reflecting the Gemara rather than the Gemara reflecting the Torah, but reflects the same notion that there are two aspects, two dimensions to getting married. One is an aspect of p'ri of rivia, and the other is an aspect of ezek negdo. So you've got banim mipri of rivia batil meishal batil. Misayle Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Amar Afa Pishish Lo Adam Kama Banim Asol Amod Bulo Isha Shneimar Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado. So being married is a separate kettle of fish, as it were, to having children. And even if you've been mekayim the mitzvah of the mitzvah p'ri of rivia, you still need to be married. But there are those who learn it the other way around. That if you've got children, if you've been mekayim the mitzvah of p'ri of rivia, then you don't need to be involved any further in p'ri of rivia. And also, batil nami misha, you don't need to be married any further. Which would, of course, go against what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, because he said, Asol amod b'lo isha. Under all circumstances, you can't remain unmarried. So we answer, look, ein lo banim, nor se isha vat banim. What the sugya means that if you haven't got any children, then you have to make sure that the wife that you're marrying is a bat banim, and is able to have children. I mean, you don't have to have a subjected to the gynecological test, but you can't marry a woman of 80 if you haven't yet had children, because she's no longer bat banim. Yesh lo banim. But if you've already got your children, nosei isha delav bat banim, then you can marry an older woman who can no longer have children. Nafkamina. So what's the nafkamina? In both cases, you're going to have to get married. So nafkamina is limkos sefer Torah bishvil banim. So whether or not you can sell a sefer Torah, generally speaking, we say you can't sell a sefer Torah. An exception is for the mitzvah pri of rivya. So if you've already had children, so then you can't sell a sefer Torah in order to get married and have children. Whereas if you've haven't had children yet, then you can sell a sefer Torah for that purpose. So yet again, here we're seeing that there's two aspects to marriage: the practical aspect of pri of rivya, and also I've called it so far the emotional aspect of Eze Connect, or Lo Tov Hiyot Adam Levado. But in actual fact, we see that the classical texts, perhaps more than putting the emphasis on the emotional dimension, which is perhaps my 21st century liberal attitude emphasizing that, they also make the emphasis about Hirhurei Aveira. That's one of the reasons why a person needs to be married, so that they shouldn't have Hirhurei Aveira. It'll prevent them from that. But, you know, again, the two can come hand in hand. But what this sugya would seem to indicate, though we'll qualify it as we go through the shir, this sugya would seem to indicate that once you've been mekayem the mitzvah of pri of rivya, you don't necessarily need to marry a woman who's bat banim. You've fulfilled the mitzvah, you can stop there. So that indeed is going to be a question. We're going to see as we go on that whilst there's a mitzvah of pri of rivya, which might have been fulfilled, there's also another mitzvah of v'la'erev al tanach yadecha. That this is a pasuk from Kohelet, meaning that even in your twilight years, al tanach yadecha, you should still try and have children. Don't say, okay, you know, I'm an older person, I'm not going to bother having any more children, I've done my mitzvah. There's a mitzvah which we're going to see is Durabanan, of Lashevet Yitzara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that it should be inhabited, and that we should play a role in making the world inhabited, and that applies even beyond the mitzvah of Pri of Rivya. Even though we've fulfilled the mitzvah of Pri of Rivya, that's from a Torah perspective, Midrabanan, there's another mitzvah of Lashevet Yitzara. So let's continue in the Gemara. Beit Shammai Orim Shnei Zecharim. So we had this Machloket Tanaim between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. How many children do you need to fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Ravu? According to Beit Shammai, two sons. According to Beit Hillel, Zachar Nukiva. My time, I heard Beit Shammai, Yalfina Min Moshe, Dichtiv, B'nei Moshe, Gershon Ve'Eliezer. So, Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim tells us that the sons of Moshe were Gershom and Eliezer. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a good frum Jew. And therefore, if he just had Gershom and Eliezer, then that must be sufficient to be mekayem the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. Uveit Hillel, Yalfidam Mibriyato Shel Olam. As Beit Hillel say, no, let's look at the creation of the world as our model. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Zachar and Nekeva. So we ask, why doesn't Beit Shammai use Beit Hillel's pasuk or model? So ain't done in Efshar, Mishei Efshar. So Beit Shammai say, listen, you know, the creation of the world, there had to be male and female created, because otherwise there would be, you'd get stuck at generation zero. Or generation one, so you'd get the first generation of humans, and then you wouldn't move on to the next model. the second generation. So, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to create Zachar Nekeva. But here, a person doesn't need to have Zachar Nekeva. There are plenty of females in the world. There'll be Zacharim, there'll be Nekevot. But to fulfill the mitzvah, a person needs Zachar Nekeva, Shnei Zacharim. Uveitil, I'll now flip the question the other way. Uveitil, Nami Lufu Mimoshe. So Amrei Lach, Moshe Midatehu Da'avad. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it's true he only had two sons, but that was his own decision. It wasn't anything to do with fulfilling a mitzvah. The Tanya, because we've got a brighter, Shloshad Varim Asam Moshe Midato, Viskima Dato Ledat HaMakom. There were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually agreed with him about them, but they came from, they were his initiative. Piresh Min Haisha, and one of them is that he was Piresh Min Haisha, that after Ma'amat Har Sinai, he was no longer intimate with Tzipora. And the Gemara goes on to explain, because he was concerned that at any time HaKadosh Baruch Hu might want to speak to him, and therefore he needed to be in a state of Tara in order to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he was no longer intimate with his wife. But it wasn't because he felt that he'd fulfilled the mitzvah of Priya Verivya. So obviously we paskin like Beit Hillel, that you need Zachar Nekeva. Now, question comes up, if a person has Zachar Nekeva and then dies at the end of his life, so obviously he's fulfilled the mitzvah of Priya Verivya. What if a person has Zachar Nekeva and he lives till 120 and they die at age 100? He was 40 when he had them, 20 when he had them, and they die at the age of 100, so they also lived long lives. Now, do we say that he's fulfilled the mitzvah of Pruravu, or do we say that he hasn't? In terms of, is it that the mitzvah is giving birth, or having a wife who gives birth to the Zachar Nekeva, or is it that these children are alive and are extant? So it's clear from the Gemara that it's the latter, that these children need to be alive. And if they were to die, so then he wouldn't have fulfilled the mitzvah of Priya Verivya, because the Gemara says on Amud Bet, Samach Aleph Amud Bet, Bnei Vanim Harehin Kavanim, that if you've got grandchildren, then that's as good as having children for the mitzvah of Priya Verivya. Obviously, you can't have grandchildren without having children. So it's clear that the children have passed away. But nevertheless, seeing as you've got grandchildren, that's sufficient. Savar Abai Lemeima, Bra Uvarta Levarta. It needs to be that you had a son and a daughter, and then the son had a son and the daughter had a daughter. The Kolshe came Bra Levarta. And certainly if the daughter has a son, Aval Barta Livra Law, but if the son has a daughter, that's no good. That's what Abai wanted to say. Amale Rava Lashevich, it's our Abai, Vahaika. Abai said, Rava said to Abai, what difference did it make who has the son and who has the daughter? The mitzvah is Lashevich, it's Sarah. The mitzvah is that there should be, every man should have issue of a male and a female. So long as you've got that, then everything's hunky dory. But certainly, what you can't have is one, the father gives birth to one, or fathers one child, and then that child fathers of Zachar and the Keva, and then the child dies, or the child doesn't die, but the father only had one child and never had a daughter. So, but he's got a grandson and a granddaughter. So you might have thought that he's fulfilled the mitzvah. But we say that he hasn't. So the Rabbanan said to Rav Sheshet, why don't you get married and have a son? He only had a daughter. And he said to them, I don't need to, because Bnei Barati, my daughter's sons, Banai Ninhu, they are my sons. So I had a daughter and my daughter had sons. So, there's Zachar and Akeva who are descended from me. But Hatam Dechuye Kamadchi Lahu. That wasn't a serious answer that he was giving. He was just trying to chase them away. Now look at the Torah, who says Kevan Sheish Ladam Zachanuki Vakiyem Mitzvah Priv Rivya. But what if Hayaha Ben Saris or Hanakeva Ilonit? So we discussed previously, well, what if the child had died? The child has died, so then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Priya Vrifya. Obviously, if they die after you, then you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Priya Vrifya. That's when you died, you had a son and a daughter, so you'd fulfilled the mitzvah. What if you have a child who's infertile? So, as far as that child is concerned, your line is going to stop there. Have you fulfilled the mitzvah periphery, i.e. you had a child? Or do we say, no, the mitzvah periphery is to have a son and a daughter who can themselves be parents? So, kevam she yesh la'adam zachan kevaki mitzvah periphery, haya ben saris on a kevailonit, lokiyim periphery. Why? Because the mitzvah priv rivya is to have viable children that can themselves create a next generation. Hayulu banim v'ameitu lokiyim priv rivya, avalim meitu v'inichu banim, kevan sheishlo leven ben or bat, or ben or bat levat, kiyim priv rivya. Avalmeite chamehem b'lo vanim, v'yeshlo sheini ben uvat, lokiyim. Exactly what we saw in the Gemara. So if you've had two children, a son and a daughter, and then they predecease you, but you're left with grandchildren from them, so then you fulfilled the mitzvah of Priya Vrivya. Because it's clear that a person, it's clear from the Gemara that a person needs to have two children who they themselves will then have children. Otherwise, you've missed a generation in terms of if the first generation has two children and each successive generation has two children, so then you've put in place a particular pyramid. If you only have one child who then has two children, so it's true that you've got more descendants than, you know, you've increased the population of the world. It's not that everybody's just having one child, but nevertheless, the exponential increase that should come about from having two children, Zachar and Keva, isn't going to come about. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. No, so you're asking, no, if a person has children and those children don't have any more children, you're right, he's fulfilled his mitzvah. A person's got a one generation mitzvah, okay, to have the next generation of children. But that next generation of children has to be children who then they themselves can produce more children. That's exactly the point. It's not stam. The mitzvah priv rivya isn't stam to have children. You need to have children who can themselves bear children. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to if you like, to set up the next link in the chain. And the next link in the chain needs to be a link that itself can in due course create the next link in the chain. In terms of it, what do you mean it's nothing to do with him? No, it'll depend. If his children just never got married and never have children, then he was mekayim the mitzvah. But if his children were infertile, then he hasn't been mekayim the mitzvah. That's the point. The point is that you have to have children who are fertile. If they're fertile, but they don't have But the point is, if his children have died, that's the point. If his children have died, And then, whilst he's still alive, has he fulfilled the mitzvah? Well, can he point to descendants? That's the question. If he can point to descendants, then he's fulfilled the mitzvah. If he can't point to descendants, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. So if they've had children, he can point to descendants. If they haven't had children, then he can't point to descendants. No, not at all. Not at all. After a hundred years, and he had two children, he had a son and a daughter, and they never got married. That doesn't say that he hasn't been Mekayim the mitzvah. That doesn't mean that he hasn't been Mekayim the mitzvah. His mitzvah was to have children who are B'nai Van. Now, if they never got married, then they weren't Mekayim the mitzvah. But he was Mekayim the Mitzvah, because he had children who were B'nai Vanim. He had children who were able to have children. Right? The children passed away before the father. Right, so therefore, has he got grandchildren? Is he able to point to descendants in the world? Right. You're right. You could have a situation where a person lives to 120 and he's got children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and then Chalila v'chas, they're all on an aeroplane together and the aeroplane crashes and all his descendants die and he's 119 years old and he's now not been Mekayim the Mitzvah Pri of Rivia. All his life he went through thinking, oh, I've been Mekayim the Mitzvah Pri of Rivia. And then at the end of the life, his children and grandchildren, his descendants predecease him. Obviously it's a tragedy, but putting that, as it were, to one side, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. In terms of, you're right, this is an interesting mitzvah in terms of generally speaking, you know, with the mitzvah of Arba Minim, I bench Lulav. Okay, I'm done. There's nothing that can happen now that will change that. Nothing can happen that will say, I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. With Pri of Rivia, it's different. Pri of Rivia, you think you've done the mitzvah, but something can happen at some stage in the future to be mevatel that mitzvah. And you've got to go back to square one. Right, so if he's got an only daughter, then he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah Pri of Rivia, because he needs to have Zachar and the Keva. Right? No, so he has fulfilled the mitzvah, because he had a son and a daughter. Sorry, who died? Who died? He had a son and a daughter. Sorry? Fine, so he's fulfilled the mitzvah. If he's got a son and a daughter who are fertile, he's fulfilled the mitzvah. Yes, there's no buts. If when he dies, he's got a son and a daughter alive who are fertile. Fine, unless she's an Ilon, unless we know that she's infertile, she never got married. She never got married. She never found the right person. So, yes, he was Mekayim the Mitzvah. He was Mekayim the Mitzvah because he brought into this world a son and a daughter who outlived him. He's been Mekayim the Mitzvah. Let's look at Shulchan Aruch Se'if Hei. Shulchan Aruch Se'if Hei says as follows. It is just, you know, reiterating what we've seen essentially, but one or two additional points. So Kevin Sheish Latam Zachar Nekeva Kiyem Mitzvah Pri of Rivia Vushaloya Ben Saris or Nekeva Ilonit. Null, that's Se'if Hei, and the Rama just tells us what a Saris and Ilonit is.
Right,
Una Keva. So his grandchildren were at least a grandson and at least a granddaughter, and they came from Zachar and Keva. Afal Pisha Zachar Ben Bito Vahana Keva Bat Beno Hol Mishnei Banav Heim Baim Harekim Itzpat Priya Verivya. Okay, so they have to come from his two children. If he has two children and one of them that they both, one of them never gets married and the other one gets married and has two children, and then the son and the daughter that the old man had died, leaving the two grandchildren, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah, even though he's got a grandson and a granddaughter. That's because it only came from one of his children. Avanim ayulo ben ubat vameitu v'hiniach echad mehem zachar nekeva adayin lo kiyem mitzvah. Exactly as I've said, and exactly as we've seen. Now look at the Rama. Haya haben mamzer o cheresh shoteh v'katan kiyem hamitzvah. This is very important. The Rama is paskening that if you have a child who's a mamzer, so you've fulfilled the mitzvah. And on the face of it, one would say, why not? Why shouldn't you have fulfilled the mitzvah in terms of you've got offspring there? So the Minchat Chinuch has an interesting piece on this. And the Minchat Chinuch says, this comes from there's a Mishnah in Yevamos on Kaf Bet Amud Aleph, which says, Mishish lo ben mikol makom, poter eshet aviv min hayibum, davar. So a person who has a child under any circumstances exempts the father's wife from yibum, because it means his father, the child's father, didn't die without issue. Uvenor lechol davar. The Mishnah says uvenor lechol davar. Now the question is, what does it mean benor lechol davar? And the Yerushalmi says that Chodavah includes as a mamzer. It's, even though he's a mamzer, it's still his son for Priya Rivya. So, I mean, the Gemara says Benola Chodavah means it's Kolel a mamzer. And the Yerushalmi says for purposes of Priya Rivya. So that's what the Rama brings down. The Beit Yosef brings this in the name of the Ritva. But notably, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh don't mention this Yerushalmi. So it would seem that we've got a machloket, whether we pass in like the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi indicates that a mamzer, you fulfill the mitzvah of Rivya, whereas the Rambam and the Rosh seem to hold not like that. So the Minchat Chinuch has got a question. He asks, it's a long distance question, but he says, hold on a minute, there's a principle of mitzvah bar bar veira. How can you be mekayim a mitzvah if it's mitzvah bar bar veira? And when you have a mamzer, so it's mitzvah bar bar veira. So there are a number of answers. The most simple answer is, of course, we could say that the Yerushalmi is talking about a case where there's no aveira. It was again, marrying a mamzeret, or a mamzer marrying a giyoret, or two mamzerim marrying each other, where there's no aveira involved. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two, and this appears in the Minchat Chinuch, he says, when does the notion of mitzvah avar bar aveira apply? When, that at the moment that you do the aveira, you're also mekayim the mitzvah, i.e. where you're doing them both simultaneously. But if the aveira and the mitzvah are not simultaneous, so then it's not regarded as mitzvah bar 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 aveira. So in this case, what's the aveira? The aveira is the biat isur. That's the aveira. But the mitzvah, you're not mekayim the mitzvah till the baby's born 9 months later. So it's not happening at exactly the same time. That's the answer of the Minchat Chinuch. And then he also gives an answer in the name of the Maharit El Ghazi, who says that, in actual fact, no, this is also regarded as mitzvah bar bar aveira. which is why the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh didn't bring it. They hold that if it's from an adulterous relationship or an incestuous relationship, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Peru Ravu. And the Yerushalmi is talking about the case where it was Ba'ones. So the a person was forced to have intercourse with a woman, and that produced a vlad. So that is not mitzvah habar b'aveira, because there's no aveira. It can't be an aveira where you're anus. So, but if in a regular case where a person has a person is in a forbidden marriage and has a child who's a mamza, so the Rama says that it's you've been mekayem the mitzvah. But clearly not everybody holds with that. Let's look. Sorry? If the man is what? Right. No, but it's a woman doesn't have the... you can't ask that question because a woman doesn't have a mitzvah pri of rivia. Not really dealing with that tonight. But a woman doesn't have... So the man, if the man was ma'anit, he wasn't anus... That's the point. It needs to be. We're saying he is Mekayim the mitzvah Priv Rivya. Needs to be a case, according to the Maharati Al-Ghazi, where he was Anus, not where he was Ma'anes, where he was Anus. He was Anus. Okay. A further question, and this comes up in the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, Mitzvot Haval Abay, is at what stage does a person have a mitzvah of Pri of Rivia? So we know in the Mishnah in Avot it says Ben Shimon Asrei L'Chupa, which is unusual. Generally speaking, with the mitzvot, you're chayvin the mitzvot at the age of 13. But for some reason, we'll see in a moment why that should be. It's different with regard to Pri of Rivia. So let's look at the Torah. We haven't got time to go through all the Gemaras. We'll look at the Torah. Mitzvah la'adam she'isa isha k'shu ben yudchet shanim. Ditzan ben shmol esrei l'chupa. That's the Mishnah in Avot. Aval ha'makdim, now this is the Gemara in Kiddushin, ha'makdim li'isa k'shu ben yud gimel mitzvah min ha'muvchar. If you get married already when you're 13, so that's mitzvah min ha'muvchar. That's the best way of doing it. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamasi Banav Vnotav Samuch Lepirkan, Alav HaKatuv Omer, V'yadata Ki Shalom Ohalecha. So, it's very good to marry off your children, Samuch Lepirkan. Now, this is actually a machloket in the Rishonim, what Samuch Lepirkan means. The Chalkat Mechokek in Sifkatan Gimel, brings it down as Machloket Rishonim, that according to some Rishonim, Samuch Lepirkan means when you're close to the age of Bar Mitzvah, i.e. but not yet Bar Mitzvah. So in actual fact, you should be Masi Banav V'notav even before they've got a Chiyuv in Mitzvot. Whereas other Rishonim means it means no, afterwards, obviously, but as soon afterwards as possible. So... But in any event, that whether it's before or after, that it's good to marry off your children, even close to the age of Bar Mitzvah. V'amar Abaye, Haida Adifna Michavrai, Mishum Denesivna Mibar Shitzar. Abaye said, I'm better than my Chavirim, because I got married when I was 16. V'ina Sivna Bar Abesa, Havamina Geira Be'ina Desitna. Had I got married when I was 14, then I would have said, that's an arrow in the eye of the Satan. Meaning that I would have, either been Mekayim the mitzvah earlier, and that's an arrow in the eye of the Satan, or that I've saved myself from Hirurei Aveira, which of course the Satan wants me to have. Aval kodem yud gimul lo yisaim, tahavi kiznut. So the Torah says, before 13, so he obviously holds Samuch Lepirkan means soon after you're 13. But the Torah holds, Kodem Yidgimun Lo Yisaim, to have a kiznut. It's a form of znut. Again, this is a point of Machloket in the Rishonim, to say that it's znut. Can you say that it's znut, or kiznut, in the context of marriage? You know, usually we have a definition of znut is that it's outside the context of marriage. So this is a machloket in the Rishonim as to whether or not it's kiznut, even if it's within the context of marriage. The Torah says it is, and you mustn't marry off a child under the age of 13, a boy under the age of 13. We're not talking here about a girl. A girl is different. A girl, everybody agrees you can be Makadish Av can be Makadish's daughter. But the Torah holds that you mustn't marry off your son before he's 13 because it's Kiznut. That's the Rambam also. But there are other Rishonim who disagree and say, no, it's not a problem of Znut because it's in the context of marriage. So that's at one end of the spectrum. Uva Shuminyan, lo yavor esrim shana b'lo isha. Certainly a person shouldn't go 20 years without getting married. Amarav avachem tana dvei Rav Yishmael. Ad esrim shana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamtin lo la'adam shema isa isha. V'kevan sha'avru esrim shana v'lo nasa. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu tipachna atzmotav. Let this fellow's bones swell up. The Katavodinu Yavir Aroshzal, Ravak Shavu Alav Eshim Shanava, Inrot Selisa, Beit Din Kofinota Lisa, Kadelikayim, it's that Priya Rivia. So, in a classical context, Beit Din would even force a person to get married in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Priya Rivia. Now, how is it possible to force him? You take a whip to him and you tell him there's a girl there who's very happy to marry you. She doesn't want a lot out of life. She wants to be married to you. You've got a mitzvah privrivia. Go and marry her. Now, it sounds bizarre to the modern mind. And it's presumably presuming an absence of romance in certainly in a courtship. I'm not getting involved in discussing what happens in contemporary branches of jury, but you know, every society has its, you know, different norms. We'll see in a moment in the Shulchan Aruch that we're not no longer force a person. But the point is, in principle, you know, you can force a person. Again, the other question might be, you know, why is this person not getting married? You know, that's, you know, part of the question. Why is he not getting married? Is it, you know, it's a kevan shavru alav esrim shana v'einarot selisa. Again, if it's, you know, person says, no, I'm not interested in getting married. Why do I want to, you know, I want to go to the football every week. I want to, why should I spend my hard-earned earnings on a wife and a family? You know, that's different to a person who says, listen, you know, I don't feel ready yet. I haven't found the right right woman. You know, I'm frightened of getting married, whatever it is, all those things. Those are different to a person says, for Einorotzelisa, I'm not interested in getting married. You don't have an option of not being interested in benching Lulav. You don't have an option of not being interested in getting married. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Se'if Gimel. Mitzvah kol adam she'isa isha ben shmona esrei. So there's actually a machloket in the poskim. What does it mean, ben shmona esrei? Does it mean at the beginning of his 18th year or the end of his 18th year? That's a machloket. The Rambam seems to say at the beginning of his 18th year. Most poskim understand it meaning at the end of his 18th year. Now, why does it wait till person's 18? Look at the chelkat machloket. Sifkatan bet. Afan kav dechola mitzvot chayav lekayim miyad kishenase ben yud gimel. Mikol makom mitzvah zu kiblu chazal she ben yud chet lechupa. Me'achar she tzarich lilmod kodem she yisa isha. You've got a chiyuv of Talmud Torah as well. And the assumption is that you can't adequately do both mitzvot at once. and hatchalat limud gemara humi ben tetvav va'elach. So you need three years of learning Gemara before you get married. In terms of you've got a mitzvah of learning properly. So learning properly, again, mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a very undefined mitzvah. You've got Vagita bo yomam v'layla, and you've got to learn Torah kol yomei chayecha. But one also does other things in life. But he's saying that Chazal had an understanding that you can, at least for a period of time, you can prioritize things. A person's not going to be able to learn with the same dedication if he's married and with children as if he's single. So therefore, a person should spend 3 years learning and then go and get married. One might add that, perhaps Chazal also understood that, many people, possibly most people, are not emotionally mature enough to get married aged 13. But that's not necessarily what Chazal had in mind, because, as we saw in the Torah, we see here, V'amakdim Yisa ben Yud Gimel, mitzvah. Actually, if you can get married when you're 13, that's a mitzvah. And, of course, this is something which is very much subjective and subject to societal norms. I think in most societies, 13-year-olds probably are not mature enough to get, are not mature enough to run a household and live independently by themselves, but even as a couple. But again, in some cultures, in our culture, I'm speaking from my own culture. You might not all share my culture, but from my culture, a couple get married and they have their own home and they make their own decisions and live their own lives. But in other cultures, people might get married aged 13 or 14, and it would be expected they live with their parents still as children, really, as teenagers, for another 5 years. So if that's the expectations of society, then you're not immature to get married at age 13. If the expectations of society are different, then you are immature aged 13. It should be mentioned, of course, that if you're not mature enough to be able to live with a wife and treat her appropriately and respectfully and look after her and provide her with her needs, so then obviously age 13, you should not be doing this mitzvah, and you should be waiting for a time till you're able to fulfill it properly. As I said, there's a machloket about that. But b'shuminyan lo yavor mikaf shana b'lo isha. So we've got a couple of points here. The first is this age limit of 20. So in many Orthodox circles, people get married after the age of 20. This is discussed somewhat by the Poskim, and they flag up the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin, which talks about what age do we say that your bones rot? Is it when you're 20, or there's a day it's when you're 22, day when it's you're 24? So there are some Poskim who say that in our times, when to be prepared to be married takes more, so then you've got longer. In the times of Chazal, they were looking at a person needed to learn a basic trade and spend 3 years learning Gemara. Nowadays, a person to be able to make a decent parnasa, you need to spend longer time learning a trade, whether it's schooling through till you're 18 or higher education. And the financial requirements are greater than they were once upon a time, and therefore it's realistic to delay, certainly till the age of 24. They're not keen on delaying beyond the age of 24. Of course, what's this is not necessarily, you know, because that, you know, what if a person comes to 24 and they haven't managed to find the right mate? Now, we don't have time to go into it in any depth tonight, but we've got this question of if a person is of Seibar Torah, Vatarach Bal Mitjare Lisei Isha, he doesn't want to get married because it's going to stop him learning. So the Shulchan Aruch says Mutar L'Tacher. The question is, how long is a person allowed to be Mitacher? So this is a point of discussion in the Rishonim and in the Achronim. From the Rambam, it's Mashma, that he can be Mitacher forever, so long as he's sitting learning. And a person never needs to get, you know, can wait till he's 50 to get married. And if he's like Ben Azai, Chashka Nafsho B'Torah, so then he can actually never get married because he's Osek B'Mitzvah, Pato Min HaMitzvah. He's totally involved in learning Torah, though the Poskim say we don't have such people now. So some of the Achronim say, you know, it doesn't make sense that he can delay indefinitely. If you look in the Beit Shmuel, Siv Katan Hay, brings down as a machloket between the Rambam and the Rosh. Mutar l'tacher, kachatav Rambam, hu shein yitzrum itgaber alav, va'arosh katav kitzva lo to limud. Okay, so the Rambam says there's no kitzva. You know, a person, you know, wants to sit and learn for 10 years before getting married, yeah, that's fine. Whereas the Rosh is not so keen on that. The Rosh says, no, you can delay a little bit, but to delay long term, you can't delay a mitzvah long term. Then we have the Rama, who says, Yizman hazeh nagu shelo lachuf al zeh, v'chein mi shelo kiyin priv rivya, uval yisai isha she'ina bat banim, kigon akara, zukeina, katana, mishum choshek ba, or mishum mamon shela, af al pi shemedina hayalim chot bo, lo nagu mikama dorot l'dadeh b'inyan hazivugim. So the Rama is telling us that basically we're not, even though min hadin, we should be kofin on this because it's like any mitzvah. Nevertheless, we don't do so. And presumably it's reflecting the difficulty of being kofin on the fact that, you know, this is something where there's an emotional dimension as well. And as Yossi, you know, asked, how can a person just, you know, how can Beit Din just take the whip to somebody and say, right, you go and marry this woman. If he doesn't want to marry her, doesn't want to marry her. There's an interesting Pitchei Tshuva, Sif Katan Hay, where he says, Sefer Kiryat Melech Rav, Bivyuro, Pek Tev Avdi, Ishut Katav, Tuchol Beit Din She'ino Kofels there, Lav Shapir Avid, Fein Lav Shkiach B'minhag. Yeah, it's true that the Rama says Nagu Shalolachuf, but that's not good practice, and you really should be kofa. Katav od marikash dikdeik l'shon hamachaber va'inorot selisa. Okay, which we picked up on before as well. To mashmash she'imrot se elashemitakev alshimitzal zivug na'a as na'eh olasibah acheret lo kafinam lei. So again, you know, it's different. A person just decides, I'm not interested in getting married, more interested in watching the football. So then, kaifin only. If it's the person is, you know, just having some difficulty finding the right person, so then, look, kaifin only. Don't force a person to marry somebody they don't want to marry. So it makes an interesting observation. Quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, which I referred to before. So, two interesting things there. Number one, bringing up that notion of Ad Esrim V'Arba. Number two, saying that you shouldn't be mitacher, you know, for zivug na'er beyond the age of 24. So, yeah, I sort of raise an eyebrow or two about that in terms of. I think that it's not healthy for a person to marry somebody, and for a man to marry a woman who he doesn't really want to marry. You know, if he doesn't really want to marry, you know, he seems to be saying, the Pitchei Tshuva seems to be saying, you know, when you get to 24, tell the person to stop messing around and just get married. I'm not convinced that that's necessarily a helpful way. And not everybody who's 24, most people probably are 24, not married, I wouldn't say are messing around. They're waiting for the right person to help them fulfil their aspirations and, to build the Beit Ne'aman b'Yisrael. Okay, we've got just in the last 5 minutes, want to pick up on the... go back to this question of La Shevet Yitzara and the mitzvah La Erev Al Tanach Yadecha, that even if a person has fulfilled the mitzvah Pri of Rivya, still needs to get married and still needs to continuing fathering children. This is, as I said, the Gemara in Yevamot Samach Bet and a Rambam in Perek Tet Vav of Hilchot Ishut. So let's look at the Torah, though. Vav apishiki in Periv Riv, yasol olamo beloisha. Damar av nachon af apishi ishlo ladam kama banim, asol ladam lamo beloisha, shneema lo tov heyot adam levado. So that's the emotional and hirhay avaira dimension. Vamar av yosho, nasai shabi yalduto, yisai shabi ziknuto. He's quoting directly from the Gemara. Hayulo banim bi yalduto, yiyulo ziknuto. So, why not have, if you're married to or you grow old together, so, we don't take more than one wife. So fine, obviously you don't go and divorce your wife of 30 years so that you can marry somebody younger and have more children. If a person's wife dies, so then he should remarry and have children. So what we're seeing is that, two issues there. Three, if you like. We've got the mitzvah Pri of Rivya. Then we've got the mitzvah of La Erev Al Tanach Yadecha. But we say there are certain cases where you're not going to be able to be Mekayim La Erev Al Tanach Yadecha because you haven't got the wherewithal to have more children, to build up another family. Remember, a person might have had, 10 children with his first wife. She dies. He's now 65. We're saying he should remarry and have, marry a woman in her 30s and have a family again. But maybe he can't afford another 10 children. So in that case, he still needs to get married, but he doesn't need to marry a woman who's but banim. And this notion of, still having children, la erev, as it were, the Rambam says, Afa Pishaki Adam mitzvah Priv Rivya Harim mitzvah midivre sofrim, a mitzvah midivre sofrim, Shaloi Vatel Midifrot Vrubot, Kolzman Shiish Bor Kalach, Shekolam Osifnefer Shachab Israel, Kinu Bana Olam. The Chay mitzvah Kachamim, he Shaloi Yeshiv Adam Beloi Shah, Shaloi Avoli De Hirhur, Velote Shabloi Ish, Shalot Techshad. So, okay, we'll just finish off in 2 minutes, so we won't even look at the Shulchan Aruch together. But if you can look at it in your own time, we're seeing that ideally there is a mitzvah of Pri of Rivya. Oh, sorry, of Lashevet Yitzara, even after a person's been Mekayim Pri of Rivya, even in a person's old age. The Shulchan Aruch does in Sif Chet, the Ramah brings down the case of this from the Trumat Hadeshen of a person who's had children with his first wife and doesn't want to have children with the second wife because he's worried about tensions between the children from the first marriage and the children of the second marriage. So that's a legitimate reason to marry a woman who's not bat banim. Can avoid it that way. So we're seeing that it's, the Lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan actually is that And basing himself on the Ramban. The Ramban says that this mitzvah la shevet is not a takana, but it's ke'ein yishuv derech eretz. Meaning, you know, it's what people, you know, should have children, but it's not a takana, you don't absolutely have to. The Aruch HaShulchan says that even from the Rambam, he thinks that it's, the Aruch HaShulchan uses the Rashi with it's hidur mitzvah. Minhag derech eretz. So I did the mitzvah, I had my children, then I did hidur mitzvah of having more children. Ah, you're my hidur mitzvah. So that's, you know, an important observation there. So there's lots more, obviously, that one could say about this topic. It's almost 10 o'clock. Well, it is 10 o'clock, so we're going to, I think we're going to call this a day just now. And yeah, next week, Bezrat Hashem, we'll look at Pesulei Chitun, so which is a very important topic, circumstances under which people can't get married. That's important, for, particularly as Rabbonim. Sometimes you need to be, so you know, you're in the front line of, you know, flagging up potential problems. So Adkan, nice to learn Torah with everybody.